Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details. Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to Handbags at Dawn, where the private items within your bags become public property in a chat-instigating, non-kleptomaniac way, you understand.
Yes!
I'm your baggage-burrowing host, Charlotte Edmonds, with a 9-year past in TV format development at Psycho, a present in podcasting and freelance creative work, and doubtless a future of telling strangers to make the most of their tiny tots, as I grow all misty-eyed at the memories of my own two. Slept through the night from 2 weeks, I'll lie. Reality won't matter then. This is the one where I talk hosting highlights, the alarmingly drug dealer-like qualities of ice cream vans, and casual nights out at the BAFTAs with a perfectly marvellous presenter. My guest this week is a children's TV legend. Having graduated from Cambridge with a degree in economics, she fronted kids' quiz shows and Milkshake before getting her big break on BBC One's flagship show, Blue Peter, working at the helm of this famous ship for 10 years and becoming the show's longest-serving female presenter. She quickly landed a role hosting The Extra Factor, delivering the highest-rating series in its then 7-year history, before starring in entertainment, current affairs, documentary and panel shows for the BBC, ITV Channel 4, and 5, and most recently, the King of the Nerds format for Sky One. This mother of two has also turned her multi-talented hand to scripting, co-writing on the acclaimed drama Black Mirror with her husband, Charlie Brooker. This is the tremendous Connie Huck.
Hello, Connie.
Hello, that's a lovely introduction, thank you.
Well, you deserve a lovely introduction, you're very lovely indeed.
Aww.
You've done so much, Connie.
I'm old now.
I shan't hear of it, you're not old.
The grey hairs are coming through, I'm old and Yeah, I started quite young as well.
How old are you when you started?
So, when I first started presenting, I was 16.
What?
I lied about my age to get a job. And there was an advert in Time Out magazine for TV presenters. Who can resist that for 18 to 25-year-olds? And I was 16. So I went along to these open auditions just for a laugh as a way to meet boys.
I love the honesty.
And I think because I wasn't actually interested in the job because I didn't think I could do it or would do it, I guess that I just sort of threw caution to the wind and just had fun. And then I weirdly got this job on cable and Saturday, and that was the first programme I presented. And I had lied to them and said that I'd left school. Actually, my school were really good. I used to sort of present in my free periods. But the school quite liked it, I think, because they thought it was good for my upper form, which it was. I think it helped me get to uni.
And I'd imagine that when you're applying somewhere like Cambridge, you need as much as possible to help you stand out.
Well, that's the thing. I reckon that having presenting on my upper form, because I was doing science A-levels, they probably thought, oh, she's well-rounded and a bit interesting. Let's put her in. And she's an ethnic minority. This all helps, you know, fulfill our quotas, you know. And so I reckon that helped me get to uni.
Now, I'm very interested to know what your handbag is like. But I see two handbags here.
Well, you see, because I have two handbags of regular use. A bigger one for like if I'm going somewhere where I need to carry lots of clobber, maybe on a work job. And then a little one for if I want to just streamline and have a small one that I can put on the back of the buggy quite easily. So these are the two regular usage handbags. So you can take your pick.
You're clearly ready for any eventuality. Would you call yourself an organised person?
I would say that I like to make sure that I am prepared and organised, but then I also sort of am a bit lazy. So because the smaller one fits in the bigger one, if I need to quickly quickly go somewhere. I don't know. And I can't be bothered to reshuffle everything. I can just stick the smaller one in the bigger one.
Just keep adding like the Russian doll effect of the handbag world.
Yeah.
Should we have a little look inside your bag?
Yes.
Which bag?
Which one? Take your pick. Pick a bag, any bag. You point and I'll pull the first thing out.
We'll go for that one. So let's have a look.
Okay. Oh, look. I've got some 3D cardboard glasses. You know the type. In the olden days, they'd have one green and one red lens, wouldn't they?
But I know.
They don't anymore.
So these rather stylish 3D glasses, where are they from?
So this is the Ice Age 4D Experience, and that's a show at Alton Towers.
What were you doing in Alton Towers?
This weekend. Well, I was there with the family, but we ended up... I just hosted a thing for the Prince's Trust there, but you know what it's like, having kids. I was like, ugh! That's 3-hour drive away. Where do I put the children while I do this thing? So because my husband could get the day off, we decided to just all go up to Alton Towers, and he looked after the kids while I did my thing. And then we made a weekend of it and went to fun things like the Ice Age 4D Experience.
You know how people so often say it's really difficult to balance a career and motherhood? Well, you've got the answer. Do both at Alton Towers, and then you win this week's Mother That Rocks award.
Win-win. It's a win-win situation. Yeah. So I took all the kids, all two of them. I'm exaggerating, but it feels like I have 400 at times, and the husband. And then what was good is that he had to just wrestle them. And then by the time I got there to join the crowd, they were more subdued. So it worked out rather well indeed.
You've had two children in the last 5 years?
Yep.
What sort of jobs are you involved with at the moment? How have you been managing to do both?
So since I've had the kids, I'm sort of not actively seeking it unless it comes to me and I really like it, because I always feel that doing stuff and being a mum, I feel like I'm being a mum badly and I'm working badly. But if the right thing came up, then I would. I mean, like, I really enjoyed doing King of the Nerds because that was a block of filming. It meant that I could just get a nanny for the block, whereas other things, it's not as easy to sort of juggle with parenthood unless you have a full-time nanny. I kind of want to do the motherhood thing. It is going quite quickly and they will be in school before I know it. And I think it's important to keep dipping your toe back in the water, because otherwise you'll find that suddenly you can't swim anymore. So my thing is 1 or 2 days a week is good, but then it's hard to find a job that's 1 or 2 days a week. And so I'm sort of doing corporates, voiceovers, guesting, although I've decided that I don't do quiz shows anymore because I've got baby brain. I totally can't remember anything. And I get that thing of being scared. I remember I did Pointless and I did really well on it. And I thought, oh, this is really good. I've done well and I've come away looking like I can remember facts and information. And then they asked me back and I thought, no, because if I go back, I know that I'll just come out really quickly. I remember I did Celebrity 15 to 1 before and I got the two questions wrong, your two starter questions, and then came out. And it was like, blink and you miss it. I was like, is that it? Is it over?
20-second page.
Yeah. And I just thought, I don't remember last week, let alone, you know, general knowledge. The thing is I'm not bad at general knowledge, but when you're on the spot, your mind just goes completely blank and you just panic. You don't even trust your own brain. So, you know, I've been asked before to do Celebrity Mastermind. I think, what would be my chosen specialist subject? I know nothing, but I could do the Life and Times of Peppa Pig. You know, that's all I know at the moment, is the theme tunes of CBeebies shows.
And it's still a specialist subject. I think you should go for it. Fly the flag for parents everywhere.
You know, I reckon I know every plot line, every character, everything.
Do you get asked to do a lot of quiz shows because you're incredibly intelligent?
I'm not incredibly intelligent. That's the thing.
I
don't know. I think I've got lucky in life. I think people often think that I'm more intelligent than I am.
It's better that way around.
Yeah, that's true. And then, so obviously, I don't want to shatter the illusions. Hence, I don't do quiz shows anymore. I did do one the other day, actually, because I was told that you don't actually have to know anything. It's a new format. It's not out yet. But actually, what happens is there's a contestant, and the celebrity panel debates the answer to the question that the contestant has been asked. And I was on a panel. It was great fun, actually, with Christopher Biggins and Nigel Havers. And so we were chatting one through, and then Nigel Havers had a mental block and he couldn't remember who wrote Sherlock Holmes. And so instead of looking foolish, he said Sherlock Holmes, which was written by, and turned to me. And I know who wrote Sherlock Holmes, Arthur Conan Doyle, but in that moment, in front of the studio audience, my mind froze and I thought, the only reason I did this is because I don't have to be put on the spot. And then I had to just declare, I've got a mental block.
That's
and
when you so want to shout at the producers, you lied, and yes, then drop the mic and walk off stage.
Totally. I felt foolish. Your self-belief belief goes. You really doubt even when you know something. I'm almost like, oh, I know that, but maybe if I'm wrong, I'll look like an idiot because I'm so wrong, so maybe I shouldn't say anything. I think when you're younger, you're fearless. You're more likely to be quite happy to do a bungee jump. When you're older, you're cynical and jaded and you've got children to protect.
You had a lot to do with that on Blue Peter, didn't you? You were flung into many a stunt.
Yes. This time I went to Alton Towers and I didn't have to do one scary ride and I had the kids as an excuse as well. Oh dear, he's too short to go on the Nemesis roller coaster. What a shame. Because actually I used to have to go on all these rides and you'd have to do it several times with different camera angles. And actually people think I'm really gung-ho and fearless and I'm not at all.
How did working on Blue Peter for all that time help set you up for having kids?
I don't know. I'm very resourceful. You need to be resourceful as a mother. And I would say I'm quite resourceful. I guess presenting as well, you have to be quite good at multitasking, especially if you're doing live. And if you're, I don't know, cooking while talking to camera and hearing someone in an earpiece tell you that your item is going 3 minutes over or whatever.
You've just described family mealtimes across the world. You're having to juggle so many things. This is great training.
Yeah, juggling. I mean, women are expected to juggle anyway. But when you've got multiple children, the juggling reaches new heights, doesn't it?
When you look back at the shows you've done so far, what were the elements of them that you most enjoyed?
So I loved Blue Peter because of the variety. That's why I was on it for 10 years, because it was so fun. You're working with so many different teams because they had like a film team, a web team, a team for the Monday show, a team for the Wednesday show. You know, so you're always with different people. When you're not doing the studio shows, you're away traveling places. So I really loved that. And I found since then, everything is almost like a bit of that. So we'd have, I don't know, music acts on that. And I used to present sometimes on Top of the Pops, but that's like just doing the music act. And then I did, say, a travel show for Discovery. And that's just like doing just the summer trip. The great thing about Blue Peter was the variety. You got to do many aspects all in one show. I really love magazine shows and I really love live TV. I just like the buzz of live because you can just, I don't know, be you and not have to worry about the same. Well, let's do that again and be a bit more formal this time. You know, it's more honest in a way. You're not sort of acting to some extent.
What's the direction you most commonly get from producers?
That's a really good question. Often I talk quite fast. And I think when things are live and you know you've only got a certain amount of time on an item, instead of self-editing, I just want to say everything. So I just talk faster instead.
Just how quickly your mind's working. You can't help it. I'm trying to keep up with myself here.
I've got so much to say. I always find that when I talk to people and have conversations, I'm always going off on tangents. And if I've been at a dinner party or something where I've been chatting to people, I often go home and think, oh, I never actually got to the punchline on that. They must wonder why I said that weird fact.
Ooh. It's when you ring someone at 12:30 going, guys, just so you know, in case you were wondering, it's a classic.
Because I never managed to finish the whole story.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
So then how was your experience going from Blue Peter to Extra Factor?
Extra is mad. I mean, because you worked at Psycho, didn't you? So you know how they work there. I mean, I think I was only told that I got the job literally the week before.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Because they don't decide things till up to the wire. I think that's kind of how Simon works as well. He's completely nocturnal, as you all know. So sometimes he wouldn't even pitch up till like the afternoon. But I really loved doing it because it was live. The fact is, if you're on the main show, you just read what's on the autocue and you be and do what they say, whereas I kind of like to do my own thing, which I think I could do a lot more on Extra. So I really loved it. I enjoyed it. I loved the whole audition aspect, sort of going around the country and meeting people. You see, I love different types of people from all different walks of life, all different ethnicities, just chatting and hearing their stories. So I really liked that element of it. And then judges' houses is such fun because you travel off to, you know, Danny Minogue's house in Australia. You know, I met Danny and Kylie's mum. I'm like, you're a formidable woman. You have these two national treasures.
Connie, this all sounds just incredibly glamorous, but far from being drenched in champagne, you actually live a very clean lifestyle, don't you?
Is that a conscious decision or did it just sort of happen?
Okay, so I was brought up not drinking because my parents are Muslim. In fact, I'm Muslim as well. We were a Muslim family. So then when I sort of have tried it, I've not really liked the taste, and I don't have that thing of, you know how lots of people, they feel if they go out, they need it to relax. I don't really have that because it was never in my mentality. And so I've never been drunk. I've never had a hangover. There's many things in life I'm missing out on.
I think that's probably a part of drinking you wouldn't miss, actually. It's a little bit like saying I've never broken my leg. It's basically a good thing.
Yes, yes. Although, are we more well-rounded for having these experiences?
No, I'm talking rubbish. You're right. I don't want to have a hangover.
Is that why you look so incredibly stunning? Because I'm regretting every life choice I've ever made sat here opposite you.
I look really young, but I think that is a genetic thing. The thing is, though, it's good and it is bad. I mean, it's nice to look young, admittedly. But then people always treat me like I'm a child.
Do they? How so?
I mean, for things like, okay, so for working, for jobs, I think because I look young, but you know, I've got a degree in economics and stuff, there's things that I might not get considered for. Not saying that I want to do a heavy economics documentary or whatever, but I don't know whether it makes me not have the gravitas and authority of someone of my years.
You are widely celebrated being...
National Connie Dana.
For being really beautiful. How much importance has been placed on how you look?
I mean, weirdly, okay, so I grew up, like, I never particularly actually grew up wearing sort of skirts and shorts and things like that, because I was quite conservative and I was from quite a conservative, I mean, they weren't really, like, a really strict family or anything, but they were sort of more strict than your average family. When I first started presenting, I felt really uncomfortable glamming up, because I was just not used to that at all. And weirdly, some people feel more comfy in makeup because it's almost like, you know, then they feel like they're looking good or whatever. I was kind of a bit the opposite. I feel like, I'd feel like, oh no, now I've probably smeared that eye stuff all over my face, or, you know, and I've got really bow legs and I'd hate to wear skirts and heels, and, you know, we all have our insecurities. So in a weird way, I think it's really good that I started out on Blue Peter and for so long, because it sort of normalized me a lot more through that 10 years. And then after that, you know, the stylist will buy you the clothes. You know, I always laugh at these celeb magazines. When I was doing Extra, you know, we would laugh, actually, me and the makeup. Some places it was like, oh, style icon. And it was me. And I'm like, no, it's not. And they've just hired someone that's put me in these clothes. I have no idea. I'm so terrible. I have no idea about what's fashion, especially since being a mum. I tend to wear elasticated waistbands a lot. So I wear leggings or jogging bottoms because I like to always feel like I'm in my pajamas. I literally, when I have to do things now, I'm sort of like on Google thinking, oh, what will I not be laughed at in? You know, I just don't know what's in. I do like to look nice, but it's my perception of what looks nice, which might not be the world's perception. I think things that suited me before, it doesn't suit me as much. I'd say I was more curvy before I had kids. And then I think I've gone a lot skinnier since having kids.
Well, I've often wondered, because I've gone, right, I had two kids, and I've gone, oh, the children did this to me. And I think maybe it was just the passage of time.
Yeah.
Because five years have passed.
What we would be like anyway, naturally.
Yeah.
Had we not had kids.
I don't want to blame
blame them, but...
I never want to blame them for anything, but they've got a lot to answer for.
I'm telling what I'm doing. I'm eating Cheerios from Spinning Top.
So that's the sound of someone telling us we have to move on to your second item.
Okay, second item. What have we got? I've got all sorts of random things in here. Like, look at that. I've just got a random marshmallow. I don't even know where that came from. Oh, look, a lolly stick. And so that lolly stick must have ended up in there because one day the ice cream van was outside the park and they cried until I succumbed and got them each a rocket or whatever it is they wanted. And then obviously they handed me their rubbish and in it goes in the bag. But while we're on the subject of the lolly stick, I have this thing about ice cream vans. I call the ice cream man the heroin man because, right, nowadays we're always going on about how your kids shouldn't have so much sugar and fat is okay compared to sugar and sugar is the new evil and, you know, everyone's trying to scrabble around to buy organic this and that and sugar-free and Ella's Kitchen or Plum only sweetens with grape juice. And, you know, as a parent, you try to limit it. The minute they've tasted sugar, that's it. They're addicted. And you have these campaigns where, you know, supermarkets will get a tax on fizzy drinks if they've got too much sugar in. Yet no one does anything about the heroin man who comes in his van. It's literally like this man is peddling drugs from his van and the van plays music, literally saying, come and get your heroin, you know, out of these speakers at the top of the van. And he pulls up outside the Priory or the rehab clinic. So these mums have all taken their kids to the park or the playground. Oh, look, they're not in front of a screen. They're playing on swings and slides. This is good, healthy play. I'm a really good mum. I've taken my child to the park. And then you come out of the park gates and there he is playing his music. Come and get your heroin. And, you know, they know that these kids are all addicted to sugar and they are not going to shut up until mummy or daddy buys them an ice cream. So, of course, you have to. And all your good parenting goes out the window.
And you're desperately trying to justify your actions with the theory that perhaps there's calcium in this.
Yeah, I know. But mine have actually decided they don't want the mini milks anymore. I don't even know if there's calcium in a mini milk anyway, but at least it made me feel better about myself. But no, they want the blue ones, the bright blue bubblegum flavoured one.
There is nothing organic in that.
I mean, it so looks radioactive. It's so wrong on every level.
And will stain everything.
Oh, yes, it's made of ink, isn't it? Then you have to trade your lovely, whatever it is, Magnum or whatever's adult-like in the ice cream van for the stupid bright blue lolly. Ink.
Served by a man who's definitely channeling the child catcher vibe.
Bit no, creepy. I'm with you on that. If this was Room 101,
the ice cream van's
yeah, it's going
in
straight
it.
In with its annoying music.
You should
jingle
start
jangle.
A campaign.
Maybe that could be my Jamie Oliver thing.
It's your Jamie Oliver moment.
And it was born here. Yeah. I'll be under fire for putting like ice cream men out of jobs.
Yeah. Bring round some carrots, dude.
Yeah, carrot stick man. Why can't we have the carrot stick man?
Lots of people nowadays have a Nutribullet or a Nutri-Ninja or a blender thing. No. Well, you've got a blender?
I have an ancient hand blender that gives off an acrid smoke and worrying scent when I use it. It makes blending things actually quite difficult.
The soup is off. It's pizza from the freezer. No, it's not. It's stew. Charlotte makes stew.
Should I have a Nutribullet?
Well, no, I don't want it even. That's not even relevant. It's one of those things you get and, well, some people keep it up and keep drinking juices forever, but you might use it for the first week and then the novelty wears off and then it goes in the cupboard. But it's quite good when the kids don't eat their fruit or they're not getting their fruit quota to put the fruit in there and then just make ice lollies in the freezer because it is pure fruit. But now I'm acting like I'm a good mother, but I'm just telling you that if you want to cancel out heroin man's sullying your kids with his chemical lollies.
Mummy, your makeup looks exactly like Kung Fu Panda.
That's the sound of someone telling us we have to have one quick riddle for your last item, Connie.
Okay, I just pulled one out while I was talking to you. Hang on, I've got a smaller chain as well.
This is a very glamorous haul, Connie. What are we...
They're all tangled up, aren't they, from different random pockets. But I always just have like little chains or necklaces or bits of jewellery in all different handbags and I never know what's where. But it's just in case if I'm somewhere and I need to look a bit smarter, I can just shove a necklace on. Or if I'm running out the door, if I look in the mirror, I go, oh no, on the run.
Look in the mirror and go, oh no!
Yeah, it often happens. Basically, what I'm saying is I'm often a scruff bag, so I've got little quick fixes so that I don't have to go and change my clothes or anything. I can just sort of upgrade.
I choose my jewellery for the day, and please don't judge me too much, but a little bit is fine, by picking up my heap of jewellery and I shake it and I see what falls out.
Yeah, no.
I find two things that match and I put those earrings on.
They're all disentangled because they've all been in different bits. So one of these came out of my purse. This came out of a side pocket. So they all just hide in different places. Often if I'm on my way back from a job and I've had a necklace on, I'll just take it off in the car on the way back and shove shove it in the pocket, and I will never know what's where. Sometimes I'll put on a coat and I'll find something. It's a little bit of jewellery in the pocket or whatever.
It's a nice little treat.
A ring or whatever, and then I'll just shove it on, yeah.
You've also got, I didn't notice you had a sparkly clutch in there as well.
Weirdly. Yes, you're right. So really, I've got three handbags. That's a bit... I was out the other night, actually.
Oh, where have you been?
I've been on a run of going out a lot in the last 3 weeks. I went to quite a showbiz party the other night, actually. And I never go on about showbiz parties, but you've just asked me and I can't think of anything other... Well, I went to the BAFTAs, actually. That's very showbiz.
Yeah, that's pretty much as showbiz as it gets.
Yeah, that was...
I went to a birthday party. That one in particular seemed to have a few celebby-type people at it. And the BAFTAs is quite showbiz. But apart from those two...
Do you do the showbiz party circuit, you and Charlie?
You know, we go to things if they're friends. And often if you work in the industry, a few of your friends are also from in the industry. So you could say ish. But, you know, I don't go to things where... I was going to say I don't go to things where Kim Kardashian is. But weirdly... At the aforementioned showbiz party, which is why I'm calling it a showbiz party, Kourtney Kardashian was there. How weird is that?
Check you out.
I know. And actually, look, I can say there were photos. It was Jimmy Carr's party, and he always has quite a lot of showbizy people at his things.
So are these showbiz parties as lavish and spectacular and glamorous as people hope they are?
His are pretty glamorous. He knows how to throw a party, and there'll always be sort of weird and wonderful people there, like Kourtney Kardashian. I mean, are they friends? What's going on here? Why was she there? He's had princesses Eugenie and Beatrice with that. You know, it's so weird. I don't think of us as that because we are really low key.
Do you think anyone who's married to somebody who was a celebrity ever thinks of themselves as a celebrity couple, or do they think they always feel we're just a couple and we happen to work in TV?
I don't know. I think we're more, but then everyone thinks that they're more normal. We're kind of not that famous in the grand scheme of famous people. So I don't know. Who would you say is the celebrity couple? I always think of people like Brad Pitt. And posh, yeah, that's what I mean. Whereas I always think, you know, people like that have servants, probably. Not servants, but
I don't want to clean my teeth. I want to win the Grand National.
That is definitely the sound of someone telling us they need us. How's your experience been on Handbags at Dawn?
Oh, fantastic. I love it. I want to come back every week. And you're so nice. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. You. It's been an
This is a mutual appreciation society here.
It's a loving.
Charlotte Edmonds is lovely and nice.
But I can't thank you enough. I've loved it. If you would like to speak to our fantastic guest this week, Connie is on Twitter. You can find her at Connie_Huck. We are also on Twitter and Instagram at Handbags Podcast. Send us a message. Let's chat. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes and follow us on Acast. I will look forward to speaking to you again next week. Thank you so much for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, you can.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.